Well, hello, everybody. Welcome into Living Off the Land. This is episode 276. I'm your host, Dan, here with my co-host, Steven. Steven, it's Wednesday night.
It is Wednesday night. You've got the Windians shirt on.
I do.
Yeah, it's a W day. It's hump day.
It's Wednesday. I was trying to... W day. Who won? Cavs
well,
are playing.
Well, hopefully
right now.
The Cavs win their game. They were down 4 at halftime to the Heat.
But, we are recording that as the second half is getting underway here.
Just about 8:30 Eastern on Wednesday night.
So, but again, I ask, Steve, it's Wednesday night.
You know what that means? It's another great episode of LOTL. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on. We mentioned Cavs. We got. Heck of a segment coming on in other news tonight, one that I couldn't possibly make up if I tried. We have a BCAN segment with a neighborhood that is surely a number one seed if you were to draw up a bracket of Cleveland's neighborhoods. But, of course, we begin first with the Beer of the Week. Dan, take it away.
Yeah, so Beer of the Week. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Since we've reestablished this segment, I have just been going back into my fridge and pulling out beers that we've done in the past, and this week is no different. This beer is a summertime favorite. We are now officially into spring, with yesterday being the official start of spring. Or I guess
are we really?
Well, you couldn't. And I'll tell you what. You know, outside my house right now, there is no snow, and we really didn't get that much. I mean, it was snowing, but we really didn't get accumulation. Apparently in Strongsville, where our parents live, they got like 3 inches.
Oh, wow. I mean, there was some on the ground on Sunday. I can confirm that. But
yeah, my mom posted a story on Instagram yesterday and of their back deck. And she was like, first day of spring? What? And they had like 3 inches on their back deck.
I got on the east side today. I was out in Cleveland Heights, South Euclid, early, as well this past weekend. And yeah, there's snow out there as well. And again, it's just been coming sporadically, like... It comes, and then it kind of melts, and then it comes again, you know, because temperature's like between 32, 35, but that's cold. You know, this isn't unusual for this time of year. Like, you know, last week we were talking about 60s and close to 70, so we're just yo-yoing up and down, but yeah.
As
calendar says
spring,
spring now, so.
Yeah, and I think if I looked over the forecast over the next 10 days, and we're going to be in the 40s and low 50s over the next 10 days with a lot of rain. So sounds like par for the course for early spring.
Great.
Yeah. Anyway, to bring this all back, the beer of the week is a summertime favorite. So I am trying to will the good weather to come to our fair city. And it is one we did before. I think we did last year in the summertime. It is from Collision Bend Brewing Company, which is down on the east bank of the flats. And this is their Lake Erie Sunset American Wheat Ale. And the description reads, a light American wheat beer infused with blood oranges that finishes dry and tart. Brewed with local house malts, the beer is named for the spectacular views of the sunset from our brewery's picturesque patio along the Cuyahoga River. Now that is correct. The Collision Bend has one of the best patios in the entire city.
Absolutely they do.
Yeah. Almost directly across the river from Windows on the River and Jacob's Pavilion. It is a fantastic view, especially in the summertime. You go there before the sun sets, you sit out on the patio as the sun sets, you drink a beer, preferably a Lake Erie Sunset, aptly named, and you enjoy probably the most beautiful part of our city, which is a sunset on the lake. So this is 5.6% ABV. It is 15 IBUs, and it says right on the can here, it is a brewed with blood orange, as I said in the description. So, yes, this is the beer of the week, and it's one of my favorite summer beers. Very, very good. I enjoy it very much. I am trying, again, this is something I probably should do before we do the episode. Dan, you dummy. I am trying to see what I gave it the last time, and I gave it a 7.8, and it's right there. 7.8 is going to continue to be the score on this beer. It is very good, and that is what I will be drinking during this episode. So that is the beer of the week.
Fantastic. It's interesting that Dan has picked a spot on the east bank of the flats for his segment. As it turns out, my segment actually begins on the west bank of the flats. And
we don't talk about this before, ladies and gentlemen.
Just across the river. And honestly, this neighborhood, like I said in the teaser, if you're talking about neighborhoods, this is one of the primo top, like I said, number one seed neighborhoods that we're talking about in the city of Cleveland. I am talking about Ohio City.
Yes.
Ohio City, which if you talk about geography, goes all the way to Lake Erie in the north, basically runs along West 45th and West 44th Street in the west, down to I-90 in the south, and then West 25th Street and the Cuyahoga River on the east side. So you're talking about it's pretty expansive from north to south, if you think about it, more so than most people. Most people think about Ohio City, they think about West 25th Corridor or the Lorraine Road or Detroit Road Corridor. That actually goes all the way down to 90 and then goes all the way back up to the lake. So that includes the, you know, for example, the Cargill Salt Plant, includes Whiskey Island, includes Wendy Park, which, of course, are great places to go, particularly when the weather is nice.
I was actually at Edgewater and Wendy Park on a Saturday. Took Champ for a walk.
Saturday was a great day.
Yep.
Actually, it was a little warmer day than people thought.
It was a little breezy right on the water, but
sure.
But yeah, no, still good. Tons of people were out. A lot of dogs. Champ loved that. So yeah, no, it was cool.
Yeah, so you've got that there, and then of course, just across the way is the west bank of the flats. And you know, you mentioned Jacob's Pavilion, you mentioned Windows on the River. That's, you know, right around that, you know, final bend where the river makes the bend back to the west. And then, of course, just a little bit further down the way is the Music Box Supper Club, Improv, Shooters, and Christie's over there.
Of course.
So.
Can't forget that.
Well, I mean, I'm just calling them as I see them, you know? I mean, Harbor Inn Cafe, McCarthy's Downtown is there. Mulberry's is there.
Yep.
The Stella Maris Coffee Shop. And, of course, Luca Italian Cuisine, which is just up the hill kind of from down on the river.
Yep.
And of course, the West Bank Golf Club,
indeed,
which is down in there. That's, you know, indoor golf simulator bar, which I went to for the first time last December, I believe.
Yeah,
that was the night where I posted on my Instagram page that no matter if you're inside or outside playing golf, Michael Stefano will look for balls.
Yep.
He's digging underneath the screen to grab the ball.
Yep,
back.
Trying to find him. Yeah.
That video is on there if you guys want to laugh. So as you come up the hill from the West Bay, as you go across the shoreway and across Detroit Avenue, you come to one of your first major commercial corridor there along Detroit. And right there you have Leco Coffee, you have Amba, you've got Banana Blossom Thai Cuisine is there, Rising Star Coffee Roasters. I didn't realize how many coffee shops are in that area. So this is, you always think of Ohio City as being more of a nighttime neighborhood. Not really. Like, it's a neighborhood that goes, you know, all the way from morning to night. Just speak of the devil, you know, right down the street from Rising Star is Jukebox Grill and also Bop Stop, which is a music bar. And just down the street from that, of course, is Saucy Brew Works, the main brew pub and pizza shop that apparently their pizza is very underrated, I guess, and is, I guess, has won awards.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't think I've ever had their pizza. I might have to get that one day. As you come a little further down, down Franklin, down West 28th, that's where Lutheran Hospital is. And then once you get past Lutheran Hospital, down West 25th, this is where you hit, like, this is your main, you know, restaurant and bar strip here. This is where a Tabletop Board Game Cafe is. This is where Ohio City Burrito is. 16-Bit Bar and Arcade is there. The original Mitchell's Ice Cream is there. Soho Chicken and Whiskey, Town Hall, Market Garden, Brightside, and Great Lakes Brewing are all in that corridor. And, of course, anchoring that right along Lorain Avenue is the West Side Market. We could do a whole friggin', segment on the West Side Market itself, just with all of the history, with all of the vendors. Anything you could possibly want in a farmer's market is pretty much there. Anything from fish and meat to, top pastries to produce straight from farms around the area. I can't say enough about the West Side Market. The West Side Market is amazing. It's an older building. Obviously, it's been panned by some because it needs renovation and needs work. But the vendors really are the focus, the focal point there, and they do an unbelievable job with the offerings at West Side Market. If you ever go there, you will not be disappointed. I want to point out something else in this neighborhood, because I talked about all businesses up to this point. There are high-rises that have been built in this neighborhood in the last few years. Right across the street from West Side Market is Intro Cleveland, which is one of them. And then you've got Waterford Bluffs, which is just a little way down from Intro. That's just across the red line from there. The West 25th Ohio Street, Ohio City Station is actually kitty corner to West Side Market and across the street from Intro. It's really couldn't be placed any better, if you ask me. Just coming a little ways further down 25th, just to highlight a few other places. Bartleby is there. Boaz Fresh Lebanese is there. Avo Modern Mexican. Citizen Pie is also there. If you come now westbound a little bit on Lorain, that's where you come to Hansa Brewery. You go past St. Ignatius High School there. Ohio City Provisions, which is a highly rated butcher shop, is there. Ohio City Pizzeria is there. This is we're now by the corner of West 33rd and Lorain. If you continue to come a little farther down, that's where you have Juneberry Table, Heart of Gold, Zinji Noodle Bar, and Herb and Twine Sandwich Company, and also Duck Rabbit Coffee. So really take your pick. You've got three major commercial corridors. You've got West 25th, you've got Lorain, you've got Detroit, and then, of course, you've got the West Bank of the Flats as well, all throughout that neighborhood. And one thing I actually forgot, see, sometimes I forget to bring up stuff too, is the what is the real estate looking like in this neighborhood? I've almost buried the lead on that, but, because, again, you're talking about a combination of, like, high-rise buildings but also single-family homes. Once you get to the south of on Franklin Boulevard, that's when you start to get into the single-family home portion of the neighborhood. And this, I'm sure, is going to be a big number. According to Realtor.com, No. Maybe not as big as I thought. As of 2024, Ohio City home prices were actually down 3% compared to the last year, selling for a median price of $255,000. To put that into context, that is a little higher than Camp's Corners, which we talked about last week. That was about $220,000. State average is about $213,000. And it says that on average, homes in Ohio City sell after about 35 days, which seems really high, but that's still low compared to 72 days last year. I wonder if the CMHA projects at Washington Park, which are just across the shoreway and on the opposite side of the lower side of the neighborhood from the West Bank of the Flats, I wonder if that's included in there, because if it is, that would bring down the average a little bit. And that might make it a little bit of a misrepresentation, because I was expecting this number to be north of 300,000. And if it truly is 255,000, maybe it's not as, because I've said for a long time, people are moving to Detroit Shoreway. They're moving to Clark Fulton now, some of these other neighborhoods, because they're getting priced out of Ohio City. Maybe not everybody's getting priced out of Ohio City. Maybe there are still deals that can be had there in the single-family homes. But a lot of the single-family homes are very well kept. Some of them have been around for over 100 years. These are your, need some updating in terms of the modern conveniences with them, but they have good bones and they're perfect. Prime location. And as we know, location is just about everything when it comes to real estate. So Ohio City is an extremely desirable neighborhood, and it's virtually second to none in Cleveland. Like I said, off the top of my head, University Circle is probably on its level. Maybe we're getting to a point where Detroit Shoreway and Tremont are pretty close in, but I'd be hard pressed to really think of much else. Maybe Cam's, but you know, Ohio City is definitely a place to be. Mm-hmm. So whether you're a nighttime person or even a morning person, just going around the coffee shops and just, you know, hanging out for the weekend, or if you just want to head down toward the lake, toward Wendy Park or Whiskey Island, you know, that's part of the whole experience too. So that is Ohio City. You can wham that with both hands.
All righty. So Ohio City back in the books. Very nice. Yeah, love Ohio City.
Shocking that the year-over-year home price was actually down. I gotta read more into that. I was blown away when I saw that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting. Huh. Okay. Well, moving right along. Where do we want to go next? Full disclosure, a big portion of the rest of the show is going to be taken up by the NCAA basketball tournament, which is kicking off tomorrow or today if you're listening to this on Thursday, since we are recording on Wednesday night this week. And we have our brackets. I have mine filled out. I believe the idea is Steve's going to go through his bracket.
I will quickly go through the matchups and not spending too much time on each one as I go through filling out the bracket. But my initial thoughts on this tournament is, wow, there's only a few truly elite teams out there.
100%.
And the rest of it, like, even the lower one seeds and two seeds are teams that have lost 7 and 8 games.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow. We could be primed for – because the last few years, we've had 15s beat 2s and 16s beat 1s. It would not surprise me if that happened again this year.
Last year we had a – excuse me. We had a national semifinal matchup of San Diego State and
– Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like,
a couple of blue bloods, folks.
Which is not to say anything wrong about those two programs. I know San Diego State has actually had some years where they've been very highly ranked. Florida Atlantic,
but it was
more
truly
of a
screwy tournament.
You know, that was more of a flash in the pan, possibly. But
we had a 16 beat a 1 last year.
The Fairleigh Dickinson over
Fairleigh
Purdue.
Dickinson over Purdue. I believe Purdue was the number one overall seed in the tournament and lost.
Just like Virginia was when they lost to Maryland Baltimore County.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's you know, for the longest time, and up until a few years ago when Virginia lost, a 16 seed had never beaten a 1 seed. 16 seeds were literally 0-for in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Until Virginia went down a few years ago.
You know, and the other side of it is it's not just the 1s and 16s. The 2s and the 15s, prior to like 5 years ago, there had only been like 3 or 4 15s that had ever beaten 2s. Now, like, that seems to be happening almost every year.
Yeah.
The 15s are knocking out 2s.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. So do you want to excuse me. Do we want to do this now? Sorry, I apologize. Wow.
Yeah, I want to do this now. We'll just go through it. So
let's do it now.
Starting first in the
hold
East.
Hold on. Whoa. Okay. I got some. Hold on.
Oh, you're going to – okay, so you're going to tell me. Okay, so I don't know what Dan's picks are. I don't even know what mine are because I'm just making them right now.
One shining moment, folks. The NCAA tournament. March Madness.
It's finally here. And
actually, let me play real quick. Listen, I think that the NCAA tournament is one of, if not the last things that you could consider as like pure, like sporting magic. Everything else has been taken over by corruption, and I'm sure that it's the NCAA. I'm sure it's still here, but at least for like. The NCAA basketball tournament, it's not filled with corruption and corporatization, and you know, you go to the Super Bowl and it's not even like real fans there. It's just a giant corporate event, you know. But the NCAA tournament, Still just feels, you know.
These are people that bleed for their teams. It's a little bit of a different fan dynamic when you root for a school as opposed to a professional team. It's a different nuance. You have people that went to that school, know people at that school, have been donating to that university for 20, 30, 40 years in some cases. It's dyed in the wool. You know, you don't have that kind of attachment to a pro team. You know, maybe you do, but in most cases you don't. Like, the attachment I have to Bowling Green is different than it is for, say, the Cavaliers. I mean, both were, like, you know, obviously very big in my life, but, like, you know, it's Toledo. Well, just going back to the MAC tournament quickly, Toledo gets knocked out in the first round, the number one seed. And
so sorry.
BG, yeah, that was fantastic. And even better, BG beats Central Michigan on that quarterfinal day. So we don't even have to play Toledo in the next round. We get to play the 8 seed, Kent State. And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, this might be the best chance we've had in a long time to exercise that 55-year hex and actually make this tournament.
Yeah, right.
And then we lost to Kent.
Yeah. For the 10th time in a row.
And then Kent probably should have won the whole thing. And if it had not been for one extreme brain fart by one player who pulled a J.R. Smith and forgot what the score was.
I'm convinced he looked up at the scoreboard and saw that he thought he thought that they were losing by one, not winning.
The colors of the teams are the same, but I mean, how do you get the logos mismatched? I don't get it. But
anyway, tell me if you can name this call.
Make free throws if you force them to foul. The Cavaliers are playing with four guards and the four guards
gave it away.
There, along with Cedric,
this was last year.
Clark in a straight jacket. He threw it away. Ping, Pagese.
Typical Virginia.
Yep. This is 13 seed Furman upsetting 4 seed Virginia in the first round because one of Virginia's players got double teamed in his own corner and then just decided to chuck the ball up in the air. Furman guy comes down with it, makes one pass, 3, foof. Here's it again.
The Cavaliers are playing with four guards, and the four guards out there, along with Cedric, are their best free throw shooters. Clark in a straight jacket. He threw it away. Ping, Pagese.
Kevin Harlan is great.
Man. Oh, is there anything better than a Kevin? That wasn't technically a buzzer beater. He made the shot with like a second left.
I mean, it pretty much was.
But is there better than a Kevin Harlan upset buzzer beater call in the NCAA tournament? It is unreal. And Kevin Harlan does the NBA. He's probably one of the best in the NBA. He's one of the best in the NFL. You know, but NCAA tournament is
He is, in my opinion, the best announcer CBS has in this tournament at this point. I mean, unless you're going to put Jim Nantz over him.
Yeah, I would always. Jim Nantz is my number one. But Kevin Harlan is so good.
Yeah.
So good. So, anyway, yeah, let's go through it. Let me pull mine up here.
Yeah, so I'm starting in, you know, the way ESPN has it laid out, starting in the East region. UConn is the number one overall seed in this tournament. They're going to beat Stetson in the first game, so I'm just going to not talk about that. Florida Atlantic, who we talked about earlier, they're darlings from last year. They play against Northwestern. That's an 8-9 matchup.
Yep.
Northwestern's not.
Oh, by the way, I also have UConn.
With any real tournament history, so I'm gonna go with FAU in that one.
Yep, I also have FAU.
San Diego State versus UAB, the
5-12 matchup.
5-12. This, you know, it's not really an upset until you get above to at least 5-12, in my opinion. And you know, if you look through history, 5-12
really
beat fives a lot.
Oh yeah, so, we have it basically at least once every tournament.
At least one, if not two. So.
And this is where I have it.
I'm going to ride the Aztecs on this one, though.
All right. I have UAB.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen. Auburn versus Yale. Teams from the Ivy League don't typically win, so I'm going with Auburn, even though I don't like Auburn.
I also have Auburn.
BYU versus Duquesne. Don't know a lot about these two teams. 6-11.
Well, you know who the head coach of Duquesne is.
No, actually, I don't. Who's the head coach of Duquesne?
He was LeBron's first high school coach and the coach of the University of Akron for about 15 years.
Oh, gosh. Keith Dambrot?
Yeah.
That's enough of a reason for me to take Duquesne.
That's exactly why I took Duquesne.
Yeah.
Give me Duquesne.
Even though they're from Pittsburgh, but we'll salt over that.
Yeah.
Illinois versus Morehead State. This one actually kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies because some of these teams from the Big Ten have not fared well in the tournament in recent years.
Please tell me that Al Snow went to Morehead State. What does everybody want? I apologize. It was there.
I'm going with Illinois, but boy, I feel weird about that one.
I know. I like Illinois this year. I think I actually have them going very. Oh, what did I do? Going pretty far.
Washington State versus Drake. Well, the closest nearest street to my parents' house is Drake Road, so I'm gonna go with Drake.
Started from the bottom. Now they're here. Give me Drake.
All right, going with Drake. And then Iowa State versus South Dakota State. So Iowa State sucks every time they get into the tournament. Period.
Oh, no. Is this going to be your 15 seed?
Yes.
Oh,
The Jackrabbits. Defeat Iowa State. Iowa State doesn't do squat whenever they get into the tournament.
They don't do diddly poo.
They're one of those three or four teams that no matter what seed they are, I will not pick them, period. So
even though they absolutely throttled number one seed Houston in the conference championship?
I mean, they're playing hot right now. Maybe they're reading their own press clippings. Upset city, baby.
All right. So Steve's got a 15 and 10 playing each other in the next round. So we differ. Okay, so we differed on that one, and we differed on UAB and San Diego State.
To the West region. So North Carolina versus Wagner. North Carolina's going to win that.
Yep.
Mississippi State versus Michigan State. I'm going to go with Michigan State there.
Agreed. I'm not betting. Even though they're a nine seed, they're not really good this year. I'm not betting against Tom Izzo in the tournament.
No. Michigan State's the opposite of an Iowa State. They're often the team that does well regardless of what seed they are. So
yep.
I'm going with that. St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon.
I flip-flopped on this one big time.
I'm sticking with the Gales only just because they have a good history when they get into the tournament.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon's won like 30 games. Like
they
must not have played a very hard schedule then with the 12 seed, but like it would not surprise me if they pulled this one, but I'm going with St. Mary's. Alabama versus College of Charleston. Give me College of Charleston.
Wow, man, upset. You are going upset city in this
Alabama,
tournament.
Maybe this is a little bit of haterade, but that's another team that when they get in the tournament, they don't seem to really perform.
I'm taking Alabama.
So I'm going upset there. Clemson versus New Mexico. Boy, Clemson's another team I look at kind of side-eyed.
They've never really been good in basketball.
No. And New Mexico is a team that actually has a little more tournament history. Give me the Lobos.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking every double-digit seed almost.
So, yeah, the 11 seed there, New Mexico over
Clemson. I'm taking Clemson.
Baylor over Colgate. That one's easy.
Yeah,
sorry, toothpaste.
Brush your teeth.
Dayton versus Nevada.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Give me the Flyers.
Yep, I'm going
Dayton. Maybe just going with the local team there. Nothing against Nevada.
Oh, I know you want to take the 15 seed here.
I really do, because Arizona stinks. They are another one of those tournament choke artist teams.
And you know what's the interesting thing about Long Beach State? I don't know if you heard about this. Long Beach State's coach is technically fired, but he's coaching in the tournament.
They fired him before the conference tournament.
And they won the conference tournament.
So now they're still playing.
Yeah.
And they have absolutely nothing to lose whatsoever.
He had his pre-tournament media availability today, and he's like, I don't have to answer any of your guys' questions. I'm technically not getting a paycheck. I don't even have a job. So what are they going to do? Fire me?
You know what? There's only been one year ever where there were the two 15s over twos. Whatever. I'm taking the 15 seed.
Oh my God.
Long Beach State. Arizona. You know, Arizona, maybe they win the first round. They're not going beyond the second round.
Well, yeah.
They suck. Every time. There have been years where I picked them to win the national championship and they're out in the second round. I'm not making that mistake again.
Here's a question for you, Steve. Are you a fan of Longwood?
No. No. Cougar High is going to beat them up pretty badly. So
you're saying Houston's going to beat the Longwood?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes, they will.
Just wanted that on record.
Nebraska versus Texas A&M.
You know, I watched a little bit of Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament. I actually thought they played pretty well. So I'm going with Nebraska here.
Give me the Aggies. I don't know why. I'm just, that 8-9, that's a coin flip. don't know. There's some Big Ten teams I like. There's others I don't. Nebraska is not a team that has much tournament history, so I'm going with Aggies.
The problem is one of the Big Ten teams I like is in the next matchup, and I have them losing.
Wisconsin. Oh, with James Madison?
James Madison is another one of those.
This is a real banana peel game right here.
James Madison is another one of those mid-majors that has won over 30 games.
Wisconsin is like... Boy,
but Wisconsin,
I could see them making a deep run or getting beat in the first round. This is really a tough one here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Gosh. Give me the Badgers, but
all
only
right.
just.
I'm taking James Madison.
Boy, that is, yeah. I mean, that truly is one of the tougher calls I've had to make there. And another actually kind of tough ones here, too. Duke against Vermont. The Catamounts. They're a team that has knocked out teams in the first round previously.
Yep.
Duke is good, but not, like, super good this year.
Yep.
You know, there have been years where they've been a 4, 5, 6 seed. They've gotten knocked in the first round, even when Krzyzewski was still there. Boy. Give me Duke.
Yeah, I took Duke.
I don't
have Duke going far, but I took them here.
I'm worried about that whole sub-regional, so I guess I'm just going chalk. But, I mean, I would not be surprised if either Vermont or James Madison win those games.
Yeah.
Texas Tech versus North Carolina State. North Carolina State won 5 games in 5 days to get to this point, which is incredible.
I think their luck's running
out.
That
being said, so... Back in 1983, when they won the national championship, it was a situation like this, where they had to win the ACC tournament just to get in the tournament, and then they end up winning the whole thing. That being said, that's not going to happen this year. Texas Tech's going to win this game.
I agree.
And Kentucky's going to beat Oakland.
Yep.
And
this one's difficult. So this
we don't know who. So they have
this
play-in
matchup
is
actually about to tip off. I actually have bets on. I have 2 bets on this game. I have Boise State +3.5. Versus Colorado, and then I have the over in the game, which I believe is 144 when I took it. So I am rooting for Boise and for points tonight.
One thing that's a little bit annoying to me is that they don't show on here where the game is being played. You know, is this game being played in the West or the East? Might make a big difference here.
You mean the play-in game?
No. The game between Florida and the winner between Boise and Colorado.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't have access to that. So I guess give me the winner of Boise versus Colorado. I'm not feeling all that high on SEC basketball in general. So Marquette versus Western Kentucky. I mean, good luck, Dark Bowling Green. But
I got
Marquette. You're not going to beat Marquette.
So. I really like Marquette. I have them going very far in this tournament.
Purdue versus the winner of Montana State and Grambling.
Which I believe that game went final. Let me see who won.
So,
actually, it's in overtime. Grambling's up by 5 with 15 seconds left in overtime.
You know,
so it looks like Grambling's going to win.
I said offline that the winner, those two teams, Montana State and Grambling, this would be the most hotly contested 16 seed play-in game of all time because of who they get to play in the next game. Purdue, who lost as a 1 seed last year.
Yeah. I don't
think it'll happen 2 years in a
row.
No,
there's no way.
I'm still just looking at Purdue with the whenever I picked them.
Wasn't it when Virginia did it? And I'm not saying that this is going to be exactly the same. Didn't Virginia win the national title the next year?
The next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2019.
But I don't think Purdue's winning national title.
Virginia is a team that is another one of those banana peel teams, but they at least do have a national championship semi-recently
right.
that they can fall back on.
Yeah.
Utah State versus TCU. Give me the Horned Frogs in that one.
I took Utah State.
Gonzaga versus McNeese State.
Oh, I went back and forth on this game because Gonzaga is not good this year, and they are highly overseeded, in my opinion. I wanted so badly to take McNeese, but I'm like, oh.
I'm taking McNeese State.
Yeah,
you
might be right.
You just pointed out.
But I don't know why. I said all of that, and then I picked Gonzaga.
McNeese has beaten teams in the first round as well, so...
This Kansas. Next game scares the living crap out of me because I made my pick. I picked Kansas, but I guess their best player is out for the tournament.
Oh, that's not good. I wonder if the NCAA considered that when they did the seedings.
I don't know.
I'm still going to pick Kansas over Samford, but that's fascinating. South Carolina versus Oregon.
Cocks and the Ducks.
I'm taking the Ducks.
I'm going with the Ducks as well.
Creighton versus Akron. Sorry, Akron. You're not beating Creighton.
Yeah, I wonder if they can stay within the number. The problem, though, is that If Creighton is a really good shooting team, so if they get hot, they could win that game by 25.
They really could.
The line, I think, is 12.5. I think Akron might be able to squeak in there, but
if Creighton's going to win. If
we
see second half Akron from Ohio and you know, for much of those last two games of the MAC tournament,
yeah,
then they might be in this game. But if we see like that lazy first half Akron we saw in the semifinals and to a lesser extent the final,
yeah,
they're going to get run out of the gym. So,
I agree.
Texas for Colorado State. Give me Colorado State.
Ooh, okay. I got
and
Texas.
Tennessee versus St. Peter's. St. Peter's is a team that's beaten teams. They had a 15 seed win last year, didn't they?
I believe so.
Not going to be 2 years in a row.
Tennessee's
going to do that. Okay, so moving on to round two. So I've got UConn versus FAU. FAU had such an incredible run last year. They're not beating UConn this time.
No.
San Diego State versus Auburn. Give me the Aztecs.
Yeah, I had UAB Auburn.
Okay.
I took Auburn.
Okay. Duquesne versus Illinois.
Yeah, I'm taking Illinois.
Ooh, yeah, give me Illinois. Drake versus South Dakota State.
I have Drake versus Iowa State. And I have Iowa State going to Sweet 16.
Drake is my choice. North Carolina versus Michigan State. That's a blue blood matchup right there.
Yeah.
Give me North Carolina.
Same.
St. Mary's versus College of Charleston. I will go with St. Mary's there.
Yeah, I have St. Mary's, Alabama. I took Alabama. So I have Alabama in the Sweet 16.
Oh, you took Alabama. Okay. New Mexico versus Baylor. That's Baylor.
I have Clemson, Baylor. Took Baylor.
Dayton versus Long Beach State. That's Dayton.
I have Dayton, Arizona. I took Arizona.
Ooh, you got Arizona getting out of that match. Okay.
Yep.
South region, Houston versus Texas A&M. Interstate matchup there. Give me the Cougars.
I had Houston, Nebraska. I took Houston.
Wisconsin versus Duke. I'm going with the Badgers.
I have James Madison, Duke, and I have James Madison in the Sweet 16.
See, the winner of the 5-12 ultimately over Duke. We were both thinking the same way there.
Yep.
It's who's going to win the first round. Yeah.
Yep.
Texas Tech versus Kentucky. Give me the Wildcats.
Same.
And Boise or Colorado versus Marquette. Yeah, I'm going to say Marquette there.
Yeah, I have Florida Marquette. Marquette moving on.
Purdue versus TCU. Give me Ribbit, Ribbit, Ribbit.
Wow. Taking the Frogs.
Get out of
here, 16.
Purdue. You guys suck in the tournament every year.
I have Purdue against Utah State, and I have Purdue in the Sweet 16.
McNeese State versus Kansas. I will go with Kansas.
I have Kansas.
Oregon versus Creighton. That's Creighton.
Yep.
And Colorado State versus Tennessee. Give me Tennessee.
Yeah, I have Texas and Tennessee. I took Tennessee.
Okay. Sweet 16. UConn versus San Diego State. For me, that's going to be UConn.
Yep.
Illinois versus Drake. I'll go begrudgingly with Illinois. That really worries me that I have them in the Elite Eight.
I took Illinois over Iowa State.
But, yeah, I guess we'll see. North Carolina versus St. Mary's. Oh, boy. This is a fascinating one here.
I have North Carolina over Alabama. So I have North Carolina in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I'm going with UNC, but, boy, that one's a tough one. Baylor versus Dayton. Do I take the Flyers to the Elite Eight? Could that happen? 7 seed.
Could.
Baylor 3 seed. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to go with Dayton.
Interesting.
Over Baylor.
I have Arizona over Baylor. One. I took Arizona to the Elite Eight.
Well, you should.
Ouch.
Wow. That's maybe sticking yourself out of the ledge.
Well, technically, I can still switch until tomorrow by noon.
I mean, I know they're a 2 seed, but like I've seen that movie way too many times.
I know.
Houston versus Wisconsin.
I have Houston, James Madison.
Give me the Badgers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Cougs.
I got the Badgers, and it's going to be an intrastate matchup in the Elite Eight as Marquette takes out Kentucky.
Wow. Yeah, I do have Marquette over Kentucky as well, but I have them facing off with Houston.
How about that? TCU versus Kansas. Give me the Jayhawks. Followed by Creighton versus Tennessee.
I have Kansas over Purdue.
And Creighton versus Tennessee, I'm going with the Blue Jays, Creighton.
I wanted to, but I took... Oh, man.
I Who did you take?
I originally have Tennessee, but now that I'm looking at this again, oh boy.
Oh, Dan might change his pick. Here.
That's TBD. I could change that now that I'm thinking. I haven't told I haven't told tip off of the first game tomorrow. So
okay, the Elite Eight, UConn versus Illinois. That is UConn all the way.
Yeah, I have. Oh, what'd I do?
North Carolina versus Dayton.
Yeah, I have UConn over Illinois.
You know, I want to say a little bit about Dayton here. Dayton had a number one seeded team in 2020, and they had their best chance maybe to win a national championship.
Is that when they had Obi Toppin?
Yes, and it was ruined by coronavirus. You know, I almost feel like for sentimentality's sake, I should put them to the Final Four.
It's crazy to think. It's crazy to think that literally that tournament just didn't happen.
You know, in almost any other circumstance, they would have found some way to do it. But
yeah,
because literally the game, you remember the game where a couple days beforehand, Rudy Gobert had touched
yes,
all the mics.
I know.
Then the Jazz played in Oklahoma City and he had COVID and all this thing happened. The governor of Oklahoma was there and just all hell was breaking loose. This was just
yep.
a couple days before Selection Sunday.
Yep.
Conference tournaments were in the midst of going on. They had actually played some of the early rounds. And we're on like semifinal or quarterfinal. Some had actually completed by that point. And it's just a very unfortunate thing that happened. But what the hell? I'm taking Dayton to the Final Four.
Oh, nice.
Over North Carolina.
I have North Carolina over Arizona.
I'm taking Marquette over Wisconsin.
I have Marquette over Houston.
And I've got Creighton over Kansas.
I have Tennessee over Kansas. Currently, I might change. That might change to Creighton. I don't know.
So this means I've got a 1 seed, a 2 seed, a 3 seed, and a 7 seed in the Final Four. Usually in situations, usually, not always, but usually when you have only one number one seed in the Final Four, they usually do go on to win the national championship.
Yeah.
I've got UConn beating Dayton. I've got Creighton beating Marquette.
Wow.
And the
I have two number ones and two number twos. I have the number ones going up against each other and the number twos going up against each other. UConn over North Carolina, and then Marquette over Tennessee.
So the question now is, do I want to make a run at like winning big in like the national contest? Because if I want to do that, then I would take Creighton to win this title. But
yeah,
very hard to see UConn. I don't know. UConn just seems to be like they are so head and shoulders above
yeah.
everybody.
When was the last time we had back-to-back champions? Was that Florida?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
06,
07? 2007, of yeah. which Ohio State played in the final in 07 and got
yeah.
beat.
So it doesn't happen often. Crazy to think that was 17 years ago.
I know, right?
Oh, God. We
are
so
old.
We
were sophomores in college at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
It's been that long.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? Just, I guess, no, I'm going to take UConn.
Yeah, I also.
Connecticut wins the national championship.
I took UConn over Marquette.
Total points scored in the title game, I'll go with 154.
Yeah, I had 156.
Oh, wow, very close.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, submit the bracket. There it is. So.
Nice.
Connecticut versus Creighton in the final, and that is how I see it breaking down. But I've got the big headline, if you were reviewing my picks, it would be Dayton in the Final Four.
Dayton in the Final Four, and you took a ton of double-digit seeds.
South Dakota State and Long Beach State winning in the first round, both as 15s. So.
Yeah, wow. I mean, hey, if that happens, you're probably in prime spot to win the whole thing.
If those first-rounders hit, then, maybe. Because not only would that directly help me, but the people who are taking Iowa State and Arizona deep in the tournament would be up a creek, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, but there you go. That is
all right.
On the men's NCAA tournament. Before
and we will give an update. We will give an update every week as we go through the tournament over the next few weeks.
Most definitely. Before we move on, I do want to point out the fact that the NCAA Women's Final Four this year, of course, is in Cleveland.
It is.
And their tournament, it starts just a day after the men's tournament. And all of the key teams, the big players that you've probably heard about
this
year.
You know what sucks?
What?
Iowa and LSU are on the same side of the bracket.
They're in the same regional.
The same regional, that's what I meant.
So if they do play each
other, it won't be in Cleveland.
last year's national title game, they would end up playing. If they do, if it's chalk, or, well, if those two teams advance as far as they can before meeting each other, they would be in the Elite Eight.
Because LSU is actually a three seed.
They're a three seed, and Iowa is the top seed, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, given their national rankings, is fair, because I think coming in, LSU was like 9th or 10th, and Iowa, I think, was like 2nd or 3rd. So
it just sucks. I wanted to see that rematch in Cleveland.
I know. But I'll tell you what, if it does happen, you know Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and all those folks.
Oh, yeah. They're going to put
on a
show.
They couldn't possibly be any more girded up for that.
Yeah, they're going to put on a show. So yeah, that's going to be cool. And that's also, you know, I'm sure that the organizers in Cleveland, namely the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, are on their hands and knees praying that Iowa gets to the Final Four and that Caitlin Clark is there.
That's
going to be one hell of a ticket to get.
They're probably also hoping that Ohio State crashes the Final Four.
That too.
They've got a shot. I mean, forget if they're a 2 or a 3 seed, but they've got a shot to do it. And then of course there's South Carolina, coached by, you know, Dawn Staley, you know, world champion, Olympian, and they're undefeated.
Right.
And it seems like nobody's talking about them.
No.
That is unbelievable to me. Like, Iowa's gotten a lot of the talk. LSU's gotten a lot of the talk. Connecticut always gets a lot of the talk. But yet, even them, they're just the 3 seed, even though they have one of the top players in the country as well, Paige Bueckers. So it goes to show you how much the playing field has now evened, now even in women's basketball.
Agreed.
So this is going to be a great event as well. And, of course, the national semifinals are on April 5th and the national championship game April 7th, which is the day before the Guardians home opener and the Eclipse. That whole weekend is going to be insane in the CLE. And I'm sure I'm going to
be banana lands.
I'm sure I'm going to have to lift car out like every day from Friday to Monday. So it's
money. I wonder how it's going to feel to be driving around Cleveland at like 3:30 in the afternoon and it's going to be pitch black.
That is going to be crazy. I mean, I'll have to stop and, like, you know, wherever I am and you know, do the filming of all that.
Don't look directly at it.
Mm. Can the corona sting your eyes?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But, so that is the tournament preview, and we move right along. Let's go into the week that was and talk about the Cavs a little bit. And they are just continuing to just sludge through injuries. Donovan Mitchell comes back for 2 games and then goes right back out. Says he thought he was ready to come back from his knee injury, and he obviously wasn't. He also got his nose broken and had to have a procedure on his nasal cavity. So he is out at least another week. Evan Mobley is still working his way back. Max Strus still working his way back. It's just, you know, it's just get me to the playoffs and get these guys healthy at this point.
The good news is, despite all of that, the Cavaliers won 2 of their 3 games heading into tonight.
Yeah.
They went to New Orleans and beat the crap out of the Pelicans on Friday night. I was really enthused by that. The Pelicans are not your average Pelicans. They are a playoff team in the West right now, and the Cavs just made them look bad on Friday night. Unfortunately, the Cavs then, you know, didn't keep that momentum going. They went to Houston. They ended up losing to the Rockets, which was a team they probably shouldn't have lost to. But then they'd come to Indiana, and then they beat the Pacers, which is a team Indianapolis is a house of horrors usually.
That was a great win.
And they come out and they pull that game. So,
yeah, that was a great win. And then the Cavs are actually up 99-96 right now against Miami with 1.5 minutes to go. George Niang just made his first free throw. Waiting to see on the second, see if we go up by 4. So this would be another big win for the Cavs, because we play Miami in Miami, and George Niang did hit the second. So Cavs are up 4 with 1:24 left.
If they pull this game out, it would be a 3-1 week for the Cavs, which is absolutely fantastic given, again, their current injury situation.
Terry Rozier makes a 3. It is a 1-point game.
Oh, boo. Well, I guess we'll just keep talking until this game ends. I'll just go quickly to the standings here. So not a whole lot has changed in the last week in the East, although you are starting to see about 2 weeks ago, we had this big pile up from like the fourth seed through the eighth seed. That pack has started to separate a little bit. The Knicks are sitting fourth, two games behind the Cavaliers entering tonight's play. The Magic are a half game behind the Knicks, 2.5 behind the Cavs in fifth place. The Magic are 8-2 in their last 10, so they're actually playing better than anyone else in the conference besides Boston right now.
Yeah.
And then you have a little bit of a gap there down to sixth with Philadelphia 2.5 games behind my Orlando. And then Miami and Indiana are right there, just right within a game of Philadelphia. So as perhaps the most pertinent number is Indiana, and that's another reason why the Indiana win was so big, because Indiana right now is seventh, which is, you know, the first spot in the play-in tournament. The Cavaliers are 5.5 games up on the Pacers.
Yep.
So it would have to take a total collapse for the Cavaliers to end up in seventh or worse. Right now they're still third and are actually a game behind Milwaukee for second. Boston is absolutely running away with the first seed. In fact, they could probably clinch that by the end of next week, as there's only 14 games left in the regular season.
Yeah.
Looking out to the West, you've got the Thunder and the Nuggets tied for the conference lead, and the Timberwolves are a game behind in third place. Then you got a bit of a gap to the Clippers in fourth place, the Pelicans in fifth place. The Pelicans are 42-26. That was a good team the Cavs beat on Friday night.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, that was one of their, you could argue that that's one of their more impressive wins of the whole season, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, and then after the Pelicans, you've got the Kings are 2.5 games behind them in sixth place. The Mavericks are tied with the Kings, just only behind on percentage points. And then the Suns are in eighth. And I keep bringing this up every time. The Lakers and the Warriors are still sitting ninth and tenth, which
yeah.
means they're playing each other on the first game of the play-in tournament in a one game and out.
Crazy. Crazy.
I can't wait for that if that comes out to happen. Like,
oh, my God. So Terry Rozier made a three, and he got fouled. So the game is tied.
Oh.
At 100. Isaac Okoro fouled him on a three, and he made it. And then he made the free throw.
Yuck.
So it's 100-100 with a minute left.
Hmm.
Let's see what happens. Let's hope the Cavs don't poop this game away.
This has been a close game throughout. The Heat actually had a bit of a lead in the second quarter.
Yep.
The Cavs clawed most of that back by halftime, and then it's, by the look of it, it's been pretty nick and tuck all the way.
I hate paying attention to games on GameCast.
Oh, because you don't know how
you're just waiting.
Far behind we are. It's too bad we don't.
And then
have
the Cavs get a friggin' shot clock violation.
This is not looking good, folks.
100-100. The Heat with the ball. Well,
sweaty
anyway.
Palms time, as they say.
And Jimmy Butler makes a shot. The Heat are now up 2 with 32 seconds left. The Cavs are about to piss this game away.
This is not looking good, guys. Not looking good. This is one of the teams that I said that
the Cavs have
didn't
let
want to.
The Cavs have let the Heat score go on a 6-0 run in a minute.
It's one of the teams I said that you really got to be watchful for, especially when you come down to the playoffs.
Yep.
Miami,
Cavs
AC,
tie it, so
the
Heat
went to the finals last year.
Wait, what the hell just happened? Oh, my God. Jared Allen gets a dunk to tie the game, and then Terry Rozier hits another three.
Wow.
The Heat are up by 3 with 14 seconds left. So the Cavs are either going to send this game to overtime or they're going to lose.
It's been a Miami onslaught here in the last 2 minutes. Son of a gun.
The Heat have scored 9 points. The Heat have scored 9 points in a minute and 10 seconds.
So let me get this straight. So they only have 22 points for the whole quarter. So that means before the last 2 minutes, first 10 minutes of this quarter, they only scored 13 points.
Yeah.
And now they've dropped 9 in the last minute and 45 seconds.
When I got into the GameCast, it was 98-94 Cavs. It's now 105-102 Heat.
So this is a little bit of a philosophical thing. The Cavs are down 3 with 15 seconds to go. I'm always of the opinion that you should go for the quick two in this situation.
With 15 seconds left, yeah.
And make them hit free throws. Unless you're out of timeouts, then maybe you consider just going for the three.
Cavs have one, it looks like.
So as long as you got a timeout, they might as well go quick. And then, you know, maybe you get lucky. Maybe Miami doesn't hit both of their free throws, and you've got the option of going two for the tie or three for the win.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the way I'd play this, but we'll see how they do here.
Cavs are in a timeout right now, so I apologize. This is pretty much dead air, but
hopefully Miami doesn't have a foul to give because that would further complicate that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's dead air necessarily. Well, I guess it is if you're listening to this the next day. But
you already know what happened.
Yeah. You know, maybe people listened who didn't look at the score the previous
Getting
day.
The defensive subs for the Heat. Okay, so the Cavs. Okay, I don't know what happened. The Cavs got a two, but now there's only 3 seconds left.
Okay, so they probably got the two, took them longer than they wanted to, and they probably fouled with 3 seconds remaining.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll see if the Heat can make their free throws.
So the two wasn't as quick as I was hoping for, but I guess that's what they were trying. Maybe they went for a three, it was a miss, and they got a rebound or
could be.
Something.
But Heat call timeout. Oh, no, the Cavs are out of timeouts now. We're screwed.
They did beat Dallas in a similar circumstance.
Okay, Steve.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. Well, anyway.
They put a second back on the clock, it looks like. We're at 4 seconds.
We're gonna take the week off from talking about the Browns because, I mean, they made some signings. They signed Jerry Jeudy to an extension, you know, that I think is really getting overplayed in the city. People are, like, freaking out about this contract extension. Like, I don't understand what you want. He traded for a receiver, a young receiver. You're going to extend him. He's going into the last year of his contract. What do you expect them to do?
They're not just going to keep him as a one-year rental.
Right. I just don't understand. Oh, he's got too much money. Like, stop worrying about money. The Haslams are willing to pay. The Browns are willing to reconstruct salaries to make the salary cap work. It's not your money. Stop worrying about it.
Here's what I don't understand about Cleveland fans sometimes. You know, in baseball, they make trades all the time, you know, either before the season or in season, and the guy's got 1 year left on his contract. Yeah. And then it becomes, oh, is this guy just a one-year rental, or are you actually going to sign him long-term? The Guardians generally don't sign these guys long-term, and they let him walk.
Yep.
So if the Browns did that, would you have been happier? Like, you're criticizing the Browns for spending? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, if it was the Guardians, you'd be criticizing them for letting the guy walk.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But
got to be consistent with that.
Yeah.
It's not like the Haslams are going to run out of money.
Cavs take the foul with 2.8 seconds left. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're down to 3 seconds here.
So, anyway, that leaves us with supposedly a juicy in other news.
Well, in other news is just, this is another just weird one this week. So, let's just put this in the stuff that came from the daycare file. So, Scarlett, my two-year-old, often brings stuff back from the daycare. Sometimes it's paintings or drawings she's done in art class or just other random miscellany, you know, candy or stuff that they had on holidays or
whatever.
Cavs
lost 107-104.
So we did not hit the half-court shot at the buzzer last time like we did against Dallas. We could not get a stop down the stretch like we needed to. Then that puts a little bit of a somber taste in our mouths because I was about to say, hey, it's 3-1 week. That's amazing. Instead, it ends up being a 2-2 week for the Cavs, which, in my opinion, is still not bad given the teams they played against. They're playing up against three playoff teams this week. I guess the one that leaves a sour taste in my mouth more so than this game was the Houston game, because that's a team that they really ought to be beating. But, oh well. I mean, they're still missing players. So, holding position is not the worst thing in the world here. The Cavs still remain third. Hopefully they'll still continue to remain third as we go along. But back to in other news, you know, and unfortunately one thing that often does come back to the daycare is illness, disease.
The sickies.
These places are germ factories. And I came down sick 4 times last year, which is the most I've been since high school. Scarlett came down with anything from pink eye to hand, foot, and mouth to strep last year. Thankfully, she's not been sick in the traditional sense this year, but this whole thing started when last week I noticed that she was getting some breakouts on her skin, like some larger size pimples or something that you might even start to call boils, but you know, they're probably not to that level. And they were there for a few days, but then they started to resolve, and I was like, okay, great. This was, you know, fast forward to the beginning of last week, and I start noticing that I have this like troublesome pimple on my left hamstring. It's kind of a weird place to get one too. And then it got bigger, and it was like, okay, to the point where it was starting to cause me issues as I was, you know, sitting down, let's say. And then by this past weekend, I'm debating whether I want to show this to Dan right now, but he probably doesn't want to see it.
Probably not.
It basically had grown to almost the size of a small egg.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Not good. I went through Express Care. Shout out Metro Health, Express Care. This was the facility in Middlebrook Heights, just on Pearl Road near I-71. And literally, they take a look at this and they say, okay, I think we know what this is, but and you're going to get some antibiotics and stuff, but before that, we were going to have to try to excise this. And I'm like, oh, great. So you're going to try to just push it and pop it. And I'm like, nah, we're thinking take a razor to it.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, goodness me. And, like, this thing is painful to the touch. Like, it's red. It's not very mobile. And they take the thing that looks like a box cutter almost. Oof. And it's just like.
Did they numb you?
I mean, they you know, they do the little numbing, like you see in soccer matches, yeah. You see the little numbing spray that they spray on it. They sprayed that, but still hurt like the dickens.
Oh.
I didn't scream, but I went with like a few times. It was not fun. And they sent me on my merry way, and they sent what they excised to the pathology lab. And as it turns out, what was inside there was something, if you are a longtime fan of the Browns, you might recognize this. It is a bacteria called Staphylococcus, better known as Staph.
Eesh.
If you remember, a little under 20 years ago, when the Browns were still having their players at Cleveland Clinic, there was a major outbreak of Staph infection in the team. Some guys like the Charles Bentley and Joe Giravicious, I know for prominent examples, came down with it, and it was a really nasty thing. It took they had to resanitize the locker rooms and the training facilities many times, and even the rooms that they were getting treated in at the clinic. It was bad enough that the Browns actually dropped Cleveland Clinic as their main healthcare provider and went to university hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly what I'm dealing with right now. This has been around for a little over a week now, and it's to the point where I've not done any exercise since last Thursday, but it's to the point now where it's like stuff's still coming out of it, but it's probably another day or two. It'll probably scab up by then from what they had dug out. And, I might be able to start, resuming normal exercise, but,
crazy.
It's yeah. Like I wasn't so like, and this is a time where I was really starting to do good running, too. We had all those days in, like, the 50s,
like how do you
60s
eat?
And early 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last Thursday I ran 8 miles, and, like, everything was going great. And, like, so I'm thinking not an injury, not an illness in a traditional sense, but a skin infection has actually, you know,
yeah,
proved to be a speed bump here.
Yeah, you would think, like the only way that you would be able to get that is, like, it getting, like, into a cut or something like that.
That's what they think, that like somehow there was something in there on the hamstring, and there's been a couple of other. What I noticed was really a problem. What was really a problem, and this is important too, was I noticed some other bumps that started to form by like Thursday, Friday. But what really scared me and what prompted me to go to the Express Care Clinic was I noticed a lump in my lymph nodes or groin on the left side.
Hmm.
On Saturday, it was actually when we were at Topgolf, I noticed this. And I was like, why am I, because I was swinging the golf club, I'm like, why am I feeling like a dull pain down there? And I went into the bathroom, I started feeling around a little bit, I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
And lumps down there are not a good thing.
No.
They're, I mean, it could be a sign of something even worse, possibly even cancerous. But
yeah.
what I read online is that skin infections and blood infections in the leg can trigger, you know, inflammation in the lymph nodes and also in the groins. So I'm not too worried about it. That's starting to resolve now too.
That's good.
But Steph is, it's a nasty thing. Like I'm on antibiotics for 10 days and, you know, it's one of those things where you still got to be careful with like cleaning the area, dressing the wound and all of that. You know, it's, you know, it took some of the Browns players, you know, a good month to fully get rid of back when, you know, that whole outbreak happened in 2000. I think it was 2006 is when that happened. So been taking it easy and just hoping. Now you were asking, how does this, you know, how did it happen? Well, it's just dumb luck, I guess. You know, Ren thankfully hasn't gotten it, so
that's good.
You know, she's healthy, and Scarlett is healthy now too. So she never got any bumps or boils or pimples nearly as big as the one I got. So
yeah,
between her and me, better it be me.
Right, exactly. I mean, she's number one,
right,
out of anybody. So, well, that's so good. Well, it's good to hear that you're on the mend and that it looks like it didn't impact anybody else.
That's
in the house.
That is in other news, and just be thankful that I didn't post this on Instagram. You'd all be very grossed out.
Yeah, I discretion is the better part of valor. There, Steve. Yeah. So, all right. Well, what a way to end the episode there.
You never know what you're going to get in that segment.
Yeah.
And again, this is just like 3 weeks ago with the parking tickets and the camera ticket, like. I didn't know that was going to happen, and sure enough.
Crazy.
You know, so sometimes the material just writes itself.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on LOTL. We appreciate you guys listening, as always. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate the support. If you're listening to this and it's before the first game tomorrow and you want in on our Bracket Buster Challenge, please go to our Twitter account. Where I tweet about it. You can send me a DM, and I will send you the link to it where you can fill out a bracket and follow along with some of our other listeners, and we can have some fun there. So, but you can follow us on social media.
Follow me on social media on X at StiffsMcGee or on Instagram at Stefano.Steven.
You can follow me at Daniel J. Ford, and you can follow the show at the LOTL Podcast. So hope you guys have a great rest of your week and weekend. The weather is going to be crappy, but you know, whatever, make the most of it. But, yeah, so we'll see you guys next week. And, for Champ and Steven, I'm Dan. You've been listening to Living Off the Land, episode 276, and we will catch you guys later. See ya.
Bye-bye.